ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Adharma Abhibhavat Krishna Pradushyanti Kulastriyaha Strishu Dushtasu Varshneya Jayate Varna Sankaraha Adharma Bhibhavat Krishna Adharma Bhibhavat Krishna Pradushyanti Kulastriyaha Strishu Dushtasu Varshneya Jayate Varna Sankaraha. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Vrishni, comes unwanted progeny. Purport. Good population in human society is the basic principle for peace, prosperity, and spiritual progress in life. The Varnashram religion's principles were so designed that the good population would prevail in society for the general spiritual progress of state and community. Such population depends on the chastity and faithfulness of its womanhood. As children are very prone to be misled, women are similarly very prone to degradation. Therefore, both children and women require protection by the elder members of the family. By being engaged in various religious practices, women will not be misled into adultery. According to Chanakya Pandit, women are generally not very intelligent and therefore not trustworthy. So the different family traditions of religious activity should always engage them, and thus their chastity and devotion will give birth to a good population eligible for participating in the Varnashram system. On the failure of such Varnashram dharma, naturally the women become free to act and mix with men, and thus adultery is indulged in at the risk of unwanted population. Irresponsible men also provoke adultery in society, and thus unwanted children flood the human race at the risk of war and pestilence. Adharma bhivavat krishna pradushyanti kulastriyaha. Better adjust it from here, otherwise what happens is the whole thing gets smashed in my face. Strishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varna sankaraha. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted. And from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Vrishni, comes unwanted progeny. We are just reading about this now, about Arjuna's vishada, lamentation on the battlefield. We don't feel Arjuna's lamentation. We have our own lamentation. We don't, our own disturbance, confusion, worries. Not the same as Arjuna's. We don't feel as Arjuna did because we're in a different situation, but he was feeling that if I fight, then if I engage in this horrible warfare, then the result will be something very bad. Nimittani viparitani, I see all bad omens, he said. The result will be something very bad, so I don't want to take part in this. He didn't seem to think that he'd be able to change the whole course of destiny. He didn't seem that he was thinking to go around and make a last-minute peace negotiations. He didn't think that. He thought that, well, maybe if we decide not to fight, that the sons of Dhritarashtra will just kill us unarmed. But even that would be better than taking part in this fighting. But at the same time, he wasn't fully satisfied with his own decision not to fight. Either way, he would have to disappoint persons who he never wanted to disappoint. If he fought, he thought, then to have to fight against my gurus, of course, they weren't disappointed. They weren't. They just took it as the natural course of natural course of life, that person who we loved and trained from his very childhood is now shooting arrows at us to kill us. They were ready for that, because they know that is the life of Kshatriyas. However harsh it may seem. For Arjuna, that was too harsh. His Kshatriya's life is harsh. Killing animals in the forest, even that's the least of the harshness, but they have to do that. But even one has to kill one's own family members. The call may be there to do so, if necessary. So he didn't want to do that. That was killing, he could do that. He was a Kshatriya. But killing against the principles of Dharma, that was just too much for him, and especially to attack, especially Bhishma, Drona, these two. That was really more than he could mentally adjust to. So he considered that to be adharma. But he also knew that it was adharma not to fight, because as a Kshatriya he's supposed to fight, and the order of his elder brother is there, and Krishna himself is there. No one else thought, well, let's not fight. Everyone thought we should fight, but Arjuna alone is standing up and expressing his discontent. Later, after the battle, we find that Ashwatthama, he killed, it's mentioned, the sons of Draupadi when they were sleeping, but actually there are many, many more who he killed when they were sleeping, which was a gross act of adharma. And Arjuna vowed that he would bring back the head. Oh, and then even on top of that, it's the last act of total spite to kill the last remaining member of the dynasty, who was later to be known as Parikshit, the child of Uttara within the womb. Of course, theoretically, the five Pandavas could have begotten more children, but it was unlikely at that age. So he tried to do that, and then Arjuna vowed that he would bring the head of Ashwatthama back to Draupadi so she could take her bath after the period of mourning. She could take her bath standing on his head. Heavy people, Kshatriyas. So when Ashwatthama was caught by Arjuna. He brought him back like a, tied up, like a beast, and brought him. And at that time, Draupadi herself, supported by Yudhishthira, petitioned that Ashwatthama not be killed. And Bhima said, yeah, he should be killed. And this was a test for Arjuna. This, Krishna set this up as a test. And he eventually killed Ashwatthama in the manner of insulting him. Because for a Kshatriya, his prestige is more than his life. What is that in Bhagavad Gita? It says, I'm just not getting it now. Sambhavitasya cha kirti maranadati richati. For one who has been honored, to be dishonored is worse than death. And Kshatriyas lived and died on that principle. They would rather die than bring dishonor to their family. So, Arjuna made a great insult to Ashwatthama by chopping his hair off with his jewel on his head and then letting him go. To capture a Kshatriya and release him is worse than death. They'd rather be killed in the battle, a real Kshatriya. Because it means that you capture and then you let go. It means you're just insignificant. I can capture you, I let you go, and if you make any more trouble, then I'll capture you again. That's the idea. You pose, you're not a sufficient threat to me that I'm going to keep you imprisoned. So it's highly insulting. Was this a test also? Krishna, was he testing Arjuna by telling him or putting him in that situation. Now Arjuna is coming out with his noble thoughts. There's a time and a place for everything. I mean, the noble thoughts, that should have come before everyone assembled. It's also a consideration. You brought everyone here, and now what's that for? So Arjuna can give a speech to them. Instead of Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Arjuna will give his Sermon on the Mount to Buddha, his sermon in the grove, his peace, peace, peace. So Arjuna is going to set up a new religion, Buddhism. A little ahead of Buddha. Okay, folks, now I realize after all this time that all you need is love. Dig it, man. Let's have peace. And then he would be worthy to be killed by all the Kshatriyas for going against Dharma. Buddha taught ahimsa paramo dharma. The topmost dharma is ahimsa. But that to state that is a dharma and ahimsa, both. To state that the topmost dharma is ahimsa, at least in the context that Buddha meant it, that in itself is adharma, and it is hingsa also. Because to promote ahimsa as a principle outside, independent of everything else that constitutes dharma, and to place that on the top without reference to Krishna, then that is, it just places dharma within the worldly platform. It creates a dharma, which is Buddhism, which is just on the bodily platform of being good in this world. Without ahimsa paramo dharma, that is true if we understand that hingsa means to not accept Krishna. That is hingsa. But without defining it in that way, or just leaving it vague, then it actually promotes hingsa, not only on the subtle platform of of being envious of Krishna, but even on with the idea that we won't have any kind of hinsa or violence, then it actually promotes more violence, which is the reason that the Kshatriyas were coming to fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. What they do, because within dharmic society, Vedic society, the kind of violence that causes one man to kill another, that is restricted to the Kshatriya class. And the Kshatriyas are required to protect the rest of the population from the violent, exploitive tendencies of others. So if the problem of hinsa, of violence, if it is not dealt with according to the Vedic system, then it just gives more opportunity to the exploitive people to be exploitive. And they'll involve the whole population in acts of violence, in wars. It will encourage, if we say we're not going to fight, then it will encourage people who are exploitive to be more exploitive and bring in more adharma. So Arjuna's proposition sounded very nice, just like up to the present day. There are people whose propositions sound very nice. Peace. There are people going around talking about peace. But they promote hinsa, eating slaughterhouse animals. Peace, love, but they don't know which are very good principles, but they don't know the foundation of these principles. And thus, in the name of promoting peace and love, they actually promote, the actual effect is something different. Now, one of the main effects that Arjuna was afraid of is that by not protecting women, then they will become polluted and the resulting population will be Varna Sankara, which Srila Prabhupada translates as unwanted population. Traditionally people like to have children. You think it's a good thing to have children, but nowadays unwanted to have children. We don't want any more children. We don't want any children. Children just a nuisance and so on. You have to work so hard, then you can't pursue your career as an aeronautess or something like this. I wanted to be the prime ministeress, but instead I had to have these children. Didn't like to, but that stupid husband forgot to use his condom. I couldn't be bothered to have an abortion because I was busy in my project, in my career. Anyway, send it to day school. Guess we gotta feed it. Anyway, make the best of a bad bargain. Make sure it becomes a PhD. So force the little wretch to study hard and be a PhD. Then we can show off to others, our child is a PhD. So unwanted children who create a chaotic situation in human society. Because just like the animals, they can sense if the owners of the animals or those who are their guardians are going to kill them, they can sense that. And if they're not going to kill them, they can also sense that. So children can understand if they're wanted or not wanted. And if they're not wanted, then that reflects in their whole attitude toward life. And they don't care to mistreat others. Because for them, there's no such thing as proper treatment. They never had it. The parents think, well, I did everything for my child. I gave them iPods and smartphones and everything they wanted. But because the consciousness is there that, well, sense gratification is the goal of life. Sense gratification comes from gadgets. So just give some gadgets to my children, they should be satisfied. But they're not. They never got their mother's love. So they grow up in an angry mood. And they don't care. They may not care even for their own life. They may not care. Now, yet another case of shooting in a school in America. And this one seems to have woken people up a bit, because there's a lot of talk about at last putting, if not a complete ban on gun ownership, something should be done. The idea is that. But it won't work. I'll make a prediction. I'm not an astrologer. But this horrible phenomenon of school shootings in which many children are killed, it won't stop. It will spread. Whatever their ideas of having guards in schools. Now you're going to have to have guards everywhere. You're going to have guards in the homes, guards on the street. It's an impossible situation. And you can't even afford it. What are you going to do? Maybe the guards will kill the kids also. They're armed. They'll have to be armed. Or they'll rape the kids. Or who knows? It's just... But what is the underlying fault? The American Rifle Association, which is the main body which is standing opposed to gun control, more stringent gun control. For instance, that to make it, at present in some states in America, it's easier to buy a gun than to get a driving license. So there's not much control. You can legally own a gun, you can just go and buy one. Whereas to get a driving license, it's stricter to buy a driving license. So it's the idea, make more controls. I don't know what. So the American Rifle Association has agreed, okay, we'll agree to think about it. Before they didn't even think about it. Because they say a man's right is to have a gun. You've got to defend yourself, principally against the government. That was the idea. In the American psyche is an inbuilt distrust of the government. The government becomes too powerful. They take away our freedom because America was built on people coming for the sake of religious freedom and then setting up ranches, and they didn't want someone from outside just coming and dictating everything to them. So the gun is their symbol of freedom. So they say that they want to look into the issues of... They say that we're willing to look into this, but you also have to look into other factors such as video games, which are mainly games in which on the screen you just blast some creatures, human or non-human, imaginary or realistic. You just kill them. So people... Children get the feel of killing, 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 and it's a number of points you get in the game. Kill someone, you got some more points. Oh, it's good to kill. That's the idea they get. And mental health. Look into the issue of mental health. So, okay, folks, we're going to clean up the video games, make some more restriction on buying guns, and give everyone some more Prozac or whatever is required to make them more mentally sound, and yippee, there'll be no more killing in the schools. They're looking toward the deeper causes, but the underlying cause is the attitude of not wanting to surrender to Krishna. Now that's a bit, that might sound a bit otherworldly or too metaphysical. But removed from that deep underlying cause is the fact that billions of living beings are slaughtered mercilessly every day in not every country of the world, because not every country of the world is big enough to have millions to slaughter. But certainly in America, it's a large country with a large meat-eating population, millions of creatures are killed every day, mercilessly. How could a human mercilessly kill children? But you, my dear friends, are doing that every single day. There are some rules that the animals should be killed humanely, whatever that means. That means that the cow is being taken to slaughter, the cow is protesting. Don't worry, we're going to kill you humanely. Is that, you could say, well, maybe we should make a law that if you're going to kill kids in a school, you should do so humanely. You should first of all take a course in how to kill with one bullet. Not that you have to hit them with 3-4 bullets or leave them bleeding to death. People may think, if they listen to this lecture, what kind of a lecture is this? This is horrible. But it is horrible. But what you are doing is horrible. The male chickens that are born in the hatcheries, they're just immediately thrown into some grinder because they're useless. No use to them. There are some laws for regulating the killing of animals. Not for birds. There are no laws. You can jump up and down on them, which we've seen clips of stomping in the hatcheries, as they call them in India, the poultry farms. People just stomping on the chickens, because anyway, they're going to go and it's time to kill them, so just stomp on them. No rules. Are there any rules for fish? It's so that they, to protect one nation's fishing rights against another's. That's all. So it's not unconnected. It's very much connected. That you can kill. Then you can kill. You can kill in children in Pakistan. That's all right. But killing children in America, that becomes a big thing in the press. They never show in the press all the kids getting killed in Pakistan by American drones and the agony of the parents, etc., etc. It's only in America that, just like that Donald Pearl, one journalist was killed in Pakistan, America. Big thing in the newspapers. In India also. But then so many Indians and Pakistanis are also killed by Pakistani, whatever they want to call them, terrorists or militants or whatever. And they're just numbers. 9 people were killed in firing on the line of control. Just, who are they? Who knows? Who cares? So there are underlying causes. Here's another underlying cause which we can understand. Varna Sankara. Children are born in lust. They're unwanted. They're not inclined toward dharma because they're born out of adharma. For maintaining proper population in society, there has to be marriage. And then, even within marriage, the sexual impulse has to be controlled so that good children will be produced. But if not, then bad children are produced. And then in each generation the problem compounds. Because Varna Sankara, they're already bad children by their very birth. That means that the kind of child that will be attracted to, the kind of soul that will be attracted to the womb of parents that are indulging in sexuality simply out of lust without regard for the rules of dharma, are going to be in the same category as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, who were born simply to satisfy the lust of Diti, without consideration of the principles of Dharma. So they were very bad. Of course, they were born from very powerful parents, whereas nowadays the children are not born from such powerful parents. So they may not be such big demons as Hiranyakashipu, but it's the same principle. And then they produce more children, and there's a whole society of Varna Sankara in which there's no consideration of Dharma, and the whole atmosphere is perverse. The whole atmosphere is degraded. And then in such a situation, more children are produced. And each generation, it compounds geometrically. This is a major problem, which we don't think about. That what kind of children are we giving birth to? There's this idea of cloning coming now, with the idea that you put the more intelligent and strong-bodied, you will produce more intelligent and physically healthy children. But the idea that they should be principled according to Dharma is no idea. So it's an extremely grave situation. Actually, what Arjuna said was right. So why did Krishna overrule that? Arjuna was in Kaviistic language, in a lose-lose situation. If he fought, he wasn't happy to fight. He didn't want to. He could see that fighting would not give a good result, but not fighting would also. That Arjuna's not fighting would not stop everyone else fighting. And he himself personally would, all the good things he'd done in the past would just be nullified by that. It would be a disgrace. Kula Kalanka, a disgrace to the family. That's how he would be considered. So that was a lose-lose situation. And Krishna, he exhorted Arjuna to fight, with the idea that, well, if the Kauravas are killed, the army of the Kauravas are killed, then there won't be any Kshatriyas left in the world, because our forces will all be killed also, and then the women will be unprotected, and then that will result in Varna Sankara. But then, if you don't kill them, then they will remain in charge. And they are, the Kauravas, they are unscrupulous people. They'll do what, they may give some lip service to Dharma, that's all. But they don't care. Their aim is just to have Duryodhana on the throne by hook or by crook. They don't care. If at all they follow Dharma, it's just to put on a show, that's all, so that people praise them more. But they don't care. They don't care. So Krishna, his purpose was to cut down the demoniac people. Cut them down. So he wanted them cut down. He had his plan. And Kali Yuga was coming, so anyway, the situation was going to be, you couldn't expect much good. And what happened is those demons the ones that weren't killed, that hadn't partook in the battle of Kurukshetra, then they took birth again in Kali Yuga. Jayate, what is that? That verse, the Jayate Brahma Yonishu, Kalo. Rakshasim Kalimashrita, Jayate Brahma Yonishu. That taking shelter of the situation, or taking advantage of the situation in Kali Yuga, the demons who were not killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, they were born as Brahmins. in Kali Yuga. Which doesn't mean that every Brahmin in Kali Yuga is a Rakshasa, but the intellectuals, the misleaders of the world, some of the worst ones, they were previously demons at the time of Krishna's appearance who didn't have the good fortune to be killed in Krishna's presence. So, such a crucial point, which no one in all their discussion, now there'll be so much discussion in America about how to stop the killings, and they might just start to think about what direction our society is going in, and like they're saying, we have to have discussion about video games. But it's only just touching the tip, just touching the surface of the great pool of problems. Just like, was it after the First World War or the Second World War, there was the moral rearmament movement. It was very prominent that we have to be, these wars are caused because we have to become more moral. We have to live a proper life, but that doesn't go well with consumerism. The economy requires people to be lusty and greedy. Consumerism. Buy more. Well, I need to buy a washing machine. Yeah, I need to buy a washing machine. If you have to, it saves you work. But I have to go and work to get the money to pay for it. Never thought of that. So, your life will be better with a washing machine and everything else. But the fact that you have to work to pay for it, it didn't happen in their mind. Because they don't show that. They just show how wonderful it is. You'll have so much time to run off with your boyfriends and all kinds of things. Your husband is out at work to pay for the washing machine and everything else. And he has to pay taxes to support the unemployed. And the unemployed are having sex with the woman whose husbands are out working. He pays the taxes. He pays for the washing machine, he pays for the taxes, and he pays for the unemployed people to have fun with his wife. So, these things are going on, to quote a famous Prabhupada line. So, people are looking for very, even though they have some idea of the gravity of the problem, but they're just looking for anodyne solution. That means you have a headache, take an aspirin. That's the solution. Actually, it's brain cancer, but anyway, just take an aspirin because so they're looking for solutions which are not solutions. They're looking for solutions which don't really address the problem in its real gravity. That 20 kids are killed in a school by some guy they always appear to be very nice, the guys who do this. We could have never have imagined. You never imagine. But now you should start imagining. Every single person is a potential threat. And then, so now, last time I was in England, I was told, parents don't allow their kids out to play in the evenings. They keep them at home. They think it's too dangerous to allow their, so kids are like prisoners in the home. Then they go to school and they come home and they're not allowed out. They're like prisoners because it's too dangerous. So another killing of this type has taken place shows that there's something extremely seriously wrong with the whole human society. But they want to make some adjustment, just some little adjustment. They don't want to search very deeply to the depth of the problem, our whole society is rotten. Why don't they see that? That our whole society is rotten to the core. If this happened once, you might think it's an aberration, which means something unwanted and unusual, something out of the norm. But when it becomes the norm, it becomes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and counting, number of times that it happens, then you could understand the whole society. There's something seriously wrong with the whole society. They don't want to address that. They won't be able to, because they're all Varna Sankara. They can't see their own hypocrisy in killing millions of animals and in making wars to support their economy with the oil. We need to invade Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan to keep the oil flowing. They don't see the problem. And killing, collateral damage means you kill a bunch of civilians, women, children. That's called collateral damage. Sorry, didn't mean to. But we need to keep the oil flowing. So they don't see the inherent hypocrisy and evil, the current of evil that runs through their whole society, that they're willing to kill for sense gratification. And kill and kill and kill. Is to maintain their sense gratification society, killing is it's unavoidable. So they can't face this. They can't admit to it. They don't understand how the laws of nature work. They don't understand how serious is the human birth, how we're supposed to use the intelligence given in human birth for promoting and cultivating Krishna consciousness. They don't understand that. They take it very lightly. They take it as axiomatic that we are in this world to enjoy it. So we should do it. That's all. And when things don't go right, then they try to make some adjustments. But they don't know the laws of nature, that if you kill, you will be killed. If you exploit, you will be exploited. If you promote lust, greed, and anger, you can expect, you should expect a highly disturbed society. But they don't understand this. In fact, these statements which are in Prabhupada's books, it's probably only a matter of time until governments around the world try to stop it. It's amazing that it did start. It wasn't a government, it was one court in Tomsk in Siberia. And the point that was missed in that whole point of them trying to ban the teaching, the distribution of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, the point which was missed in all the frenzy, all the hoo-ha about all of this, is that the prosecutors said, we're not against Bhagavad Gita, we're against this edition. That got lost. Because they say, we're not against Bhagavad Gita, we're not against Hinduism, but these particular purports say things like this, that women are generally not very intelligent and therefore not trustworthy. Women become free to act and mix with men, and thus adultery is indulged in at the risk of unwanted population. It's statements like this, which in modern parlance would be called sexist. It's statements like this, which it's amazing, but it must come. That, well, the reason that, I guess the reason that it's not brought up, or hasn't come up, is because the Bible is also full of such statements. And I guess the feminist movement, who are very aware of this, they've thought that up to now it's not politically, favorable or wise for them to go up against the whole Christian religion. Even this PETA organization, they're trying to stop unethical treatment of animals. So I heard that at one point they came out against saying, well, the whole Western civilization based on these religions, Christianity and Judaism, that's the problem. They've created an ethos of exploitation of animals, but apparently they brought out this point, and then they decided to withdraw it because they thought it's not politically expedient, that's the word. You can make some rough Tamil approximation for that. It's not politically expedient for them to do so. It doesn't favor their cause, even though it's true. But to state the truth would be too unpalatable for people to accept it. And actually, Prabhupada said something to that in that regard also. I read it just a few days ago in one of his conversations. I should have noted it. Next time I come across it, if I do, I'll make a note of that. Prabhupada said, actually, these religions, this Christianity and all these religions, they're just useless. But we shouldn't say that. We shouldn't say that publicly. We can speak against the principles that they promote. Yeah, in one of those books by Sahadev Prabhu that I saw one article about, there's a Catholic priest who's propagating real Christianity means you should be a vegetarian. But then we should ask him, well, does that mean that everything that you know about Christianity, apart from this, has been wrong up till now? That you're a Catholic, and that means you have to accept the authority of the Pope. That means you're saying the Pope is wrong, and all popes up to now have been wrong. So actually, to be a Christian and to be a vegetarian is what Christianity has come to mean, it's an incompatible situation. And, years ago I saw, it must have been in the 1980s, outside our Soho Street Temple in London. I've told this anecdote several times. I came out to be handed a pamphlet in which there was a big warning, beware of Satan, something like this. And the message was that vegetarianism is against the Bible. So be careful of these vegetarians. And it was really, really amusing because it had a picture of Satan with his horns and his fangs and looking really evil, holding a plate of cabbages, potatoes. It was amusing. But actually that guy was being a real Christian in the sense that Christianity is understood today. Not as Christ taught it, or not as we think or hope that Christ taught it, but to be a Christian, you have to be a meat eater. So I also saw that, it was the Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada this year, 2012, by my good friend Tamoha Prabhu. I only know him via email. So he wrote in his Vyasa Puja offering that he was just going through the channels on TV once, and he came across a Christian preacher who was preaching that our service to Jesus has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted, and we have to have pure service. And his whole spiel was from Bhagavatam. And then a close-up came of the book which he was holding in his hand, which was the Srimad Bhagavatam. But then if he was real, that's good in one sense. But then why stick to the whole Christ thing anyway? They've understood that he's understood this is a higher form of religion, but then why stick to the whole thing about Christ? It may end up that we'll all have to join the church because they may preach all these things, or our own society is promoting, well, you know, you don't have to, yeah, you have to surrender, but, you know, take it easy, a little later, maybe after a few lifetimes. But it won't be. Either watering it down or jacking up the Christianity. Either way, you're not going to get the real thing. These are all Varna Sankara solutions. How to be Krishna conscious without being Krishna conscious. Without surrendering to Krishna. Just get some special mercy. That's it. Water the thing down. Special mercy. Special mercy means you don't have to follow everything. You don't have to be serious. You just get some special mercy. And that's it. Then you don't have to follow. And what is the symptom of the special mercy? Well, we said that there's special mercy. There's no symptom of any special mercy, like becoming highly empowered to give up sense gratification and induce others to give up sense gratification, fully dedicate your life to Krishna. The special mercy is that you're allowed to indulge in sense gratification. But that's not special mercy at all. That's cheating. So these are all Varna Sankara, ideas that come out of Varna Sankara brains. The intelligence by which people are intelligent, but their intelligence is used for things like making video games of killing people. No doubt it requires a lot of intelligence to produce the hardware and software that produces video games. But that intelligence is used for promoting something horrible. And this is what you want your kids to grow up with. This, that they rush home from school so that they can get on their computer and play video games in which they take the role of God. They can become the destroyer and kill others. Kill all kinds of horrible beings and live in a fantasy world. So their intelligence, but their they're intelligent, but their intelligence is perverse. And the intelligence of parents who think that it's okay for their children to grow up with these video games, that's also perverse. That's also child abuse. There's so much concern about child abuse, and they should be. But to allow your kids to have to use these demonic video games, that's also child abuse. What's the harm? They're sitting peacefully in front of a screen, and what does it matter? And what does it matter? And then one day, you got a machine gun, and maybe they don't do, but someone else is doing. We're living in a society where that is normal. It's becoming normal. It's happening again and again and again. So, what Prabhupada is writing is, people, they think this is horrible. Prabhupada is saying that women should not be free to act and mix with men. But, just as a point of information, this was the standard in human society up until very recently all over the world. Even in the Christian churches, there used to be the men on one side and the women on another side. And the women would cover their heads. And it was understood that men and women, unless they have a close family relationship, they don't just mix with each other and talk with each other. Even within the family relationship, the women, at least in Indian culture until recently, the women would come and serve the men, whatever it is, tea or whatever, and go away. That's all. He wouldn't talk with them. Men and women talking, that was allowed under some certain situations. That's all. So, but what Prabhupada is writing here, people today, they can't relate to it at all. And the propaganda is that for the whole of civilization up to now, there was this exploitation of women, but now we got it right. And women are free. It's your own body. You're free to do what you like with it. So some unwanted tissue starts forming within your body as a result of that. I'm not sure whether it was that drunken night or the other drunken night. But anyway, there's something going on down there. Okay, it's unwanted tissue. It's just like a cat, it's just like a tumor. So you have an operation, it's a simple operation, just remove it. That's all. That's what they think. Horrible mentality. Demonic mentality. That women should have the freedom to mix, and then they should have the control. The natural result of mixing is that there'll be pregnancy, and then you control it. It's up to the woman what she wants to do. You shouldn't say that is not allowed. So they can just go have an abortion. It's just tissue, that's all. And the animals that are slaughtered, well, it's just some chemicals, that's all. And the kids that are slaughtered in the school, oh, our children. You've created that mentality. Fetuses in the womb are just tissues that can be disposed of. Animals are just chemical combinations that can be disposed of. And children in the school, they're just some other matter that can be disposed of. They don't connect the dots. They don't understand. So this kind of statement will very much disliked, abhorred by people with a modern outlook. I recently met a GBC member who told me that we shouldn't distribute these Bhagavad Gita as it is, because people, they can't relate to it at all. We should distribute other books, and then later we can bring people in, then later try to explain to them. So I can understand the reasoning behind that, because this is the way people think nowadays. This kind of thing, women not allowed to mix with men, that means you want to exploit them and control them. Control, yes, exploit, no. Whereas yours, your way is that you understand that men and women should mix freely, so that men can freely exploit women, or the women will control the men. It becomes open gender war. That's what they call it, gender wars. So we should have freedom so people can do what they like as much as possible. But what is our responsibility in human life to bring children into the world who can understand the principles of religion? There's a major responsibility that goes along with the sexual act. But sex, like everything else, is considered simply for pleasure. So everything for pleasure, video games for pleasure. But I'm not satisfied. I've killed dozens, hundreds, thousands of people on computer screens, but you know, they're only simulated screams. And we can't smell the blood, and we don't see real faces writhing in agony. So to get the real thing, let's do it. Let's go and kill a real person. Then we can, and whatever happens after that, what do we care anyway? But just once in my life, let me enjoy the pleasure of seeing the faces of the mothers. Let me enjoy that. Who knows what the mentality of such perverse people is. But the point, they're thinking that these people are perverse, but the whole society is perverse. Who is guilty? Every single one of you is guilty. Who is it? Who is guilty? The president of the country? The American Rifle Association? Who is guilty? Every single one of you is guilty. You're all guilty. That they don't want to face. And what is the solution? Well, the solution in Kali Yoga is Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Gatira Nyata. Chant the names of God. The people with perverse mentality, they can be purified by the chanting of the holy names. But we have to introduce this Varnashram to try to create good population by people who are trained in understanding the principles of religion. We introduce the chanting of the holy names, and then when people's consciousness is somewhat purified, we have to train them in the principles of religion. Otherwise, they'll chant the holy names and still have all these wrong ideas. And then they'll act contrary to the principles of religion. And then the chanting of the holy names will become, in their understanding, another outlet for their sense gratification, because that's all they know, is sense gratification. Human life is meant for sense gratification. So we'll chant. Yeah, we like chanting. So let's try and make the chanting more and more pleasing to our senses. And so that we can have people chant, verbally chanting, but the mentality remains the same. The mentality of exploitation, and that I am to enjoy this world. So from that mentality, surrender to Krishna, that will never take place. To accept the codes of dharma, understanding them, that why we need to do this, why women need to be protected, people won't understand, and they'll take that protection to be exploitation. And if people who are doing the protecting, they also don't understand the principles, they'll also take protection to be exploitation. So adultery is indulged in at the risk of unwanted population. Adultery. These words are from an archaic dictionary. Adultery. Sex indulged in out of wedlock, by married people, out of wedlock. But that, such words, adultery, fornication, they're going, sodomy, such words, they're not used because they carry a pejorative connotation, but there is no, it's no longer considered something wrong or bad. It's just considered normal. Wrong, yeah, but then that's why there are divorces. That's all. You just get a divorce, that's all. You found your husband was cheating or your wife was cheating. So get a divorce. Marry again. So Srila Prabhupada's books seem very old-fashioned to people who are modern, progressive, advanced in their own imagination. But these are very serious points. If this kind of population is being produced, we can expect society to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And the only solution is the Krishna consciousness movement. No one else understands. Christians, Muslims, Hindus, they don't understand these principles of religion. So it's incumbent upon ourselves to understand this and educate others about this, about these principles. How serious is this human life? How serious is this Krishna conscious movement? Not reduce it to some pantomime. Things are bad, they're getting worse. Think things are bad, well, they're going to get worse. It's only going to get worse unless we promote the Krishna consciousness movement. Only hope. So, any question about this? The caste brahmanas, can you speak a little loudly? Caste brahmanas are what? are giving meaning, mixed varnas, mixed varnas, Nowadays it's not mixed varnas because kalo shudra sambhava, everyone's a shudra, so people who believe in the caste system, they will say, you see, mixing of castes, that's the cause of the problem. But there's no meaning to brahmanas being called brahmanas if they're brahmanas only because they marry within a certain group. The whole culture has to be established also. If they marry within a certain group but their values are those of shudras and less, then how are they brahmanas? Then it's meaningless. Mixed races, mixed. Traditionally, a boy from a Brahmana family marrying a girl from a Brahmana family because they have the same culture, same values. And naturally, that if they performed Garbhadhana Sanskar, then naturally to their womb would be attracted a soul would be sent there suitable to be their child. And so generally, and with the culture within their home, naturally the children would gravitate toward that kind of culture. So generally, children born of brahmanas would be brahmanas. Children born of kshatriyas would be kshatriyas, and so on. But with the breakdown of that, then we can say children born in so-called brahmanas families today, they might be somewhat more sophisticated, but their mentality is not that of brahmanas, because their parents' mentality is not like that. So the whole thing is broken down. Therefore, we have to revive it. That was an important part of Srila Prabhupada's mission, to revive Varnashram. First, there has to come Harinam. That has to be followed up with training. Not just somehow or other get people to chant Hare Krishna, it's all over, it's all finished. You don't have to do anything else. You have to train them in every aspect of their life. A lot of discipline. People don't like discipline. The higher the varna, the more discipline there is. Chandals, they have no, maybe among themselves they have some kind of rules. Shudras, they have rules. Vaishyas more, Kshatriyas more, Brahmanas more. So this whole idea, no rules and just chant Hare Krishna, that will lead to downfall, not uplift. But people of Varna Sankara background, even if they take to Krishna consciousness, they may think, we don't like all these rules. Rules are very bad. Don't bring up. We just chant Hare Krishna, that's all. They want to circumvent the purification that comes from following the rules. Never mind Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself instituted these rules. But they think themselves more advanced than, too advanced to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's rules. Yeah, anything else?
Oh, yes, please.
Currently there is an issue going on in Delhi. A medical college student, a woman, was raped by 5 or 6 students in a bus, a running bus. So many students are protesting. One of the rapists said that we did that to show what happens when women move around freely. But it is a fact, isn't it? We don't sympathize with their action. Recently in Delhi, maybe a year ago or so, there was some women had what they called the Besharami Morcha, which means that was taken from the English Sluts Walk. In Canada, one policeman made a comment that if women dress like sluts, they can expect trouble. Slut is slang for prostitute. It's or for a woman who's just very loose in her mixing with men. So in protest against this, women around the world brought out sluts marches, in which they went out dressed in all their short skirts and revealing clothes. And the press was right behind them. I mean, it's actually a fact. I mean, women, they dress in short skirts and revealing clothes. Why? To reveal their bodies, to incite this sexual appetite in men. So they have the idea, well, we should dress whatever way we like and do whatever we like, and men should be saints. And we're trying to attract them by dressing like this. And then when we get raped, we complain. So they had, and in Delhi they organized it also with a different name, because the word slut is not known in Indian English very much. So they gave it a Hindi come Urdu name, Besharami Morch. Besharami means shameless woman. And Morch means what? March, like that? Protests? So, it's a fact. Although, raping a girl is not going to solve the problem, but it is a fact that this kind of thing will happen. You can't mix men and women, especially women dressing in a way which is deliberately provocative of sexual appetite, and expect that nothing will happen. It's asking for trouble, as a saying in English, asking for trouble. How much we need to re-educate the whole human society. All their values are all wrong. So, anything else? Someone else had a question? No. All right. So, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ajnanatimirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. We offer our respect to Srila Prabhupada, who we were in the darkest of dark ignorance, and Srila Prabhupada applied the ointment of knowledge and in this way opened our eyes. Otherwise we wouldn't have a clue. Hare Krishna. Thank you.